Merry Christmas, everybody. You know, you can still get away with that today and not get any strange looks, but I challenge you, as this week progresses, to still greet everybody with Merry Christmas and watch the strange looks that you'll get from people. What? It's New Year. It's over. It's all over. It's like, no, it's not. You know, Feast of the Epiphany is next week. And in the Orthodox Church, that's the day that they celebrate Christmas, the coming of the three magi, wise men from the East, bearing gifts to our Lord. So we're still deep within the season of Christmas. As a matter of fact, we're still within the octave of Christmas. So this is your chance to evangelize the reason for this season. One God, three persons. One Jesus of two natures. He is fully human and he is fully divine. And just remember, there was never a time that he was not. Now, these are the basic tenets of our Christian faith. If you attended the 10 o'clock Mass for Christmas Day, that was the Mass setting, Christmas, you know, Mass during the day. And the reading, or the Gospel reading for that Mass, is from John's Gospel. Very powerful. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So there John teaches us the basic tenet of our faith. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit always was and always will be. But yet, for our limited human understanding, we've got to remember, God is without time. But for us to understand, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That is the reality that we celebrate on Christmas Day. The glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. In our limited human capacity, it's not easy for us to understand the reality of the Trinity. Again, for our simple understanding, it is the Father who created us. It is the Son who redeems us. It is the Holy Spirit that sanctifies us, that makes us holy, that animates our very souls. The triune God always existed and will exist. But how do we further understand the relationship of the Trinity and the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? We have tried for millennia, and it's one of those things that when we meet the Lord, then we will fully understand. But probably the best explanation, and I think I've shared this with you before, the Father infinitely loves the Son. The Son infinitely loves the Father, and the love between them begets the Holy Spirit. Where on earth do we have a living example, a symbol, a sacrament that depicts this eternal exchange of love? Marriage. The husband loves the wife. The wife loves the husband, and the love between them begets children. And as I always like to say, it wouldn't be Mass if there wasn't a baby crying. Is that right? That was the strange thing. You know, in seminary, chapels were always, you know, we're always pin drop quiet because, you know, we're always, in solemn, quiet prayer. It was a beautiful experience. Then on Sunday mornings at our seminary in Boston, we'd open up the doors and we'd open up our mat and our doors for the mat, you know, for the public to come in and celebrate Mass. And usually it was just, the benefactors, the people who would continue to support the church. And they would bring their children, of course. And then, that's a strange thing to hear children crying in a seminary chapel on a Sunday morning. But, and some of the brothers were just kind of shaking their heads. I just looked at them and said, just get used to it, because that's what the rest of your priesthood is going to be like. It's a beautiful thing. Our Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 2205 teaches the Christian family is a communion of persons, a sign and image of the communion of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Wow, look at that. In the procreation and education of children, it reflects the Father's work of creation. Oh, wow. It's even getting deeper. It is called to partake of the prayer and the sacrifice of Christ. Rightly, and I've used this example before in the past because I think it's a beautiful example, marriage is an icon of the love of the Trinity. And the example I like to use is not a church icon, that little gold painting. I kind of think more of it like an icon on your computer desktop. You double-click that icon and all of a sudden it gets bigger, right? If you double-click on the icon of the love of a family, you should see the love of the Trinity. That is why marriage can only be between a biological male and a biological female. We have to make that clarification nowadays so there is no confusion, because people nowadays are confused about their identity. And if you address them incorrectly, wrong pronoun, they get angry, right? Please don't get angry about my confusion of your confusion, okay? This is not what God intends. In the beginning, male and female, He created them. The basic definition of a sacrament is that it is a taste of divine life now in our earthly reality to prepare us for the heavenly reality. And we can spend multiple semesters of seminary formation looking at the depth and meaning of each of the seven sacraments. In marriage, husband and wife have the gift to reflect the love of the Trinity, the love of God Himself. No pressure, husbands and wives, but that's what you're called to do. You know, there is something awesome within your sacraments. You share in the creative power of God. We just heard that from the Catechism. In the one flesh union of husband and wife, God is present. At the moment of conception, He is there to place a soul in that new person, and life begins. Anything that does not image the love of God, anything that interferes with that one flesh union or later destroys that life, is an affront to God. This is St. John Paul II's teaching of the theology of the body. Marriage is a divine institution between man and woman, and nothing that man says or does can change that. It is the very foundation of the human family, of our human community, of our human society. Remember, Jesus is fully human and fully divine. Jesus' divinity derives from the fact that he is God. What of his humanity? Today, on this Sunday after Christmas, we celebrate the feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And even this family experienced pain and suffering. A child born in a stable and laid in a feeding trough, had to flee from a murderous king, lived in exile in a foreign land, only to return home to live under Roman oppression. And then the son dies, later murdered by his own people. And yet they remain the perfect family, the holy family. Jesus gets his humanity from Mary. He is raised as a Jewish man by Joseph. So Jesus' humanity is a reflection of what he learned in this holy family. It becomes an example for our lives. Parents, you probably heard this before, right? You want your kids to be holy? Then you yourself have to be holy. You want your children to go to church? You have to bring them to church. You want your kids to go to confession? Guess what? Then you got to show them how. Here is the first confession trick we priests love to play. You know, when children come to first confession, you know, and after they make their first confession, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is my first confession. These are my sins. They confess their sins. You know, they make a good act of contrition. I say, okay, now go tell mommy. Go tell daddy. When you go back to them, okay, it's your turn now. We do that. Again, you have to be an example. That's how you grow a holy family. You probably heard this before, right? The family that prays together stays together. Again, Catechism 2205, it is called the family to partake of the prayer and sacrifice of Christ. You know, children, again, imitate everything you do. Parents, you already know this. They imitate everything you do, including the love between you. You show that love, they experience that love, and then they share that love with the greater community around them. Jesus' humanity is a reflection of not only God the Father, but of his earthly family, of Mary and Joseph. What we know of Jesus, we know of Mary and Joseph. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Paul wrote that to the Ephesians. And how much does Christ love his church? He loves it that much. He gave his life for his church. Wives, you must love your husbands the same way. That's what love is. It is sacrifice first and foremost. A total gift of one to the other. That's why in marriage preparation, the crucifix is always present. That's what we're called to do for our families and our neighbors. Through the intercession of Mary and Joseph, may we love as the Holy Family has taught us.